Morning. Today's daf Mochandaz is daf Yud Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Bluna Zech and Nishmas. Los Lupin Zaltzman. We are in Yud Amud Beis and a discussion of Malacha that you could do on Chol HaMoed. That's been topic, really the topic since the beginning of the Perek. And yesterday we had 8 statements by Rava in terms of the do's and don'ts of Chol HaMoed. Various activities that are permitted, prohibited in Chol HaMoed. Not necessarily connected to one another, but Rava made all 8 statements. Of the 8 statements yesterday, we went through 7 of the 8 statements, and we are now up to the 8th statement. You could find us in the Gemara towards the bottom of the Amud and Yud Amud Beis, and we're starting with the words Amar Rava. This is statement number 8 of Rava. Prak Machia Kol Shuwa, so you can't do business on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's a pretty... That's a general statement. You can't do business on Chol HaMoed. Kol Shuhu, you can't do any business on Chol HaMoed, right? The statement over here is a very strong statement. You can't do any type of business whatsoever. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Avin of Adavar Ha'avin Motor, and Rav Yosef Bar Avin says, but if it's a law, so then it would be permitted. Okay, so we have right now 2 very generic statements regarding working on Chol HaMoed. So on one hand, the Gemara says you can't do any work. On the other hand, the Gemara says that if there's a loss potential, so then you can do it. Okay, so 2 things to discuss over here. Number one, let's talk about the Isser Malachan Chol HaMoed. Why can't you do Malachan Chol HaMoed? So it's a quasi yantav, meaning it's yantav itself. You can't do you can't work, neither can you on Shabbos, and so Chol HaMoed is like a quasi yantav. So if that's so why can't we do work on Shabbos? Meaning, why can't we do business transactions on Shabbos? So it's not Isser del Raisa, right? And we all know that. Meaning on Shabbos to conduct any type of business, right? We could do transactions on Shabbos. The problem is that once you conduct business, so you're going to want to write it down, right? General good rule in life is to get everything down in writing. So whenever you're conducting good business, so there's going to be writing. So the Chachamim said that you can't do business on Shabbos and on Yom Tov for fear that you're going to come to write it down. So it's Gzeira D'Rabbanan, they can't do business on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So now what about Chol HaMoed? Is it the same thing? So I'm going to argue on the thesis that it's not exactly the same thing. Why would I argue that point? Because look at the second to last Tosfos on the Amud. Prak Machia Kol Shu Perish Rabbein Yitzchak B'Tshuvaso Rabbein Yaakov Lahaya Choshev Havas Ribis Prak Machia. Lending with interest, obviously to a non-Jew. Lending with interest, so Tosfos quotes one of the Rishonim. He says Rabbein Yitzchak. Okay, so... Okay, all right. One of the Balei Tosfos could be the Ri, but anyway, he quotes Rabbeinu Yaakov. Could be Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, whatever. But he quotes Balei Tosfos, and they say that lending with interest is not considered prak matia. Okay, no, it's not business. Meaning, what does that mean? It's not business. Of course, it's a business. That's people make money that way, right? Banks. A lot of the economy is run on lending with interest. So, what does that mean? It's not business. So and then Tosfos is bothered by a Gemara, which we haven't seen yet. We're going to see momentarily. And Tosfos is going to, or whatever. We'll see the Gemara there momentarily. And then if you look at the end of Tosfos, we're going to just skip right to the end. I know I added a word in the Tosfos, but it's not me who added the word. The Bach added the word. But basically, lending with interest is not considered business. Okay, now, again... If we're going to go with what I suggest, with what we present at the beginning, that doing business on Chol HaMoed is like doing business on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, it doesn't matter what the venture is, meaning it could be any type of venture. Lending with interest also. Lending with interest, for sure you're going to write it down. Meaning that's, right, that is driven by writing things down. So if the idea of doing Malach on Chol HaMoed is connected with, I may write it down, there would be no distinction whatsoever between doing any other type of business versus lending with interest. The fact that Tosfos is making an argument, it's debatable, it's debated, but the fact that Tosfos is making an argument that lending with interest, that's not labor intensive. That you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, so certainly the sense that you get from this Tosfos is that the Isser of doing business on Chol HaMoed is more of a function of the Chachamim just don't want us, doing mundane activity on Chol HaMoed. And strenuous business... whatever that means, but in other words, anything above lending with interest, so that's prohibited on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's point number one. It's an interesting point. Right, Tosfos over here is saying that lending with interest doesn't fall under this category of prak matia. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two. The Gemara says if it's davar aved, so then it's okay. In other words, if there's a loss potential, then it's okay. Now, already you can already think about this. Probably come up with both sides of this position. When we say loss potential, are we talking about loss of principal, or are we talking about loss of profit? Next Tosos on the Amud. Ovedavar ha'aved mutar perish bedavar she'im lo yim karenu ata shemaloyim karenu yafe pa'macheres v'yafsid min ha'keren. So Tosos says that when we're talking about loss, we're talking about loss of principal, not loss of profit. So avalim lo yafsid min ha'keren elo shelo yavir kolkach ein zeh kashuv davar ha'aved. But Tosos says, but if it's just a loss of profit, that's not considered davar ha'aved. And that would that and you don't have a heter to engage in such business. So Tosos works with the assumption that when our Gemara allows davar aved in chol hamoed, it means only loss of principal, not loss of profit. And Tosos says now that's in terms of selling merchandise. What about buying merchandise? So certainly Tosos says don't make the argument. Well, you know the merchandise right now is cheap. And after Chol HaMoed, it's going to be more expensive. That for sure is unacceptable on Chol HaMoed, says Tosos. Avalitnos yain kasher b'sor chamoed mutter. Okay, and then he goes into a discussion of wine, and let me just deal with the basic issue. And that is, again, Tosos over here makes the argument that it has to be a loss of principle, and only a loss of principle that would grant a dispensation to conduct business on Chol HaMoed. A number of other Rishonim disagree, right? You can read Rashi. Rashi doesn't say much, but you can read Rashi carefully and see if he may disagree. But a number of other Rishonim disagree. A number of other Rishonim say that no, even a loss of profit represents a davar ha'aved, and that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. The question that everybody wants to know, because it's probably the Rav's most frequently asked question, what if there's a sale? In other words, there's a sale on Chol HaMoed. Right, I know you can't buy things on Chol HaMoed, but there's a big sale, and if I don't buy now, so right, and of course there won't be a sale after Chol HaMoed. Parenthetically, there will be, but okay, leave that out of it. But in other words, but can I buy something on Chol HaMoed with the understanding that I don't need it right now? First of all, by the way, everyone understand if I need it for Chol HaMoed, obviously you're allowed to buy it. Talking about buying things on Chol HaMoed for after Chol HaMoed. So it's a big sale. It's a major sale. So can I buy it? Can I buy it during Chol HaMoed right now? So again, this basically now touches on our issue, meaning if the definition of davar ha'aved is loss of principle, then the answer is no. If the definition of davar ha'aved is loss of profit, potential loss of profit, so the answer may be yes. You'll speak to your local rabbi, right? But you understand though that's a major disagreement, a major distinction in terms of what kind of business you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Let's go on. The Ravina, we are on Yudam and Beis. We're about 8 lines from the bottom. Ravina va lehau iska da'ave mizdame b'shisa ape. So Ravina had merchandise, and right now he had the chance of selling it for 6,000. And so what does he do? Waits. Shail is one ebaster chula de moada. So he waits to sell after chol hamoed v'zavne b'shisa ape, and he sold it for 12,000. Okay, so made twice as much as he thought he was going to make. And the Gemara, not explicitly, but implicitly, is basically saying, yeah, wait. Meaning, don't do business on Chol HaMoed. Wait till after Chol HaMoed. And, right. And the Gemara says, and it'll be promising. Ravina have masik zuzib b'mnei akara dishan vasa. Ravina was owed money by these people. Okay, they live in the... by the bank of the river of the Shanvasa. Anyway, also coming to Ravashi, Amrle Maula Meza Ina Alayu. So Ravashi says, look, I'm owed money. Now, by the way, if you could just remember to the beginning of this year, where Tosu says that lending with interest, that's not business. Meaning that's not under this prohibition of doing business on Chol HaMoed. Sounds like from our Gemara, lending with interest does fall under the category of Prakmatya. So that's the part of the Tosos I didn't read. You can go back to Tosos. You can read that in Tosos, and Tosos tries to address that. So anyway, just go back to the Gemara. So Ravina was owed money by these people. He goes to Ravashi and he says to Ravashi, "Can I collect? It's Chol HaMoed. Can I collect?" So I'm like, "Kevin da'ino hu d'mishachlu b'yom ha'achrin la mishachlu k'marmag." Sorry. I'll learn how to talk soon. So the response that Rav Ashi gives to Ravina is opportunity lost. Meaning you have a chance of opportunity lost. Meaning if you don't get the money, they're available today, they're ready to pay back today, go get that money. Right? They may not be available after Chol HaMoed, and so therefore this is what falls under the category of Davar Aved, and so therefore you are entitled to go and get that money. So, right, okay, good. In other words, but right, going back to Tosos says that lending with interest doesn't fall under the category of Pragmatia altogether. So then, if that's true, then this shouldn't even have been a question. Meaning the answer would have been, this is not us to begin with on Chol HaMoed. Okay, but anyway, that's good. Yeah?
But this is Rav Meir's opinion that opportunity lost, you're allowed to go after.
No, this, the Gemara over here, no, this is Rava.
I understand, but it's based on Rav Meir's opinion of Mishnah that you first started the
It seems like Rava's making a statement that is not controversial, not disputed. It seems that way. And the Gemara says this idea of an opportunity lost, and you have to capitalize on the opportunity. So this idea expresses itself in the Masecht of Avodah Zarah, which it goes as follows. Ultimately, you read, this is another mission of Avodah Zarah. I know yesterday we just quoted from the first mission of Avodah Zarah. Here we're going to be quoting from another Mishnah. If I remember correctly, this is still the first parak of Avodah Zarah. So Ultimately, you reach Shalakom. So you can go to a Yerid. Now, Yerid is a festival, right? The festivals back then were called the Yerid. Good way to remember that. It's Yerida, meaning if you're going to the festival, you're dropping. You're going down in your Ruchnias. So the but the Mishnah says you can go. Hochinly Yerid Shalakom, v'lochem behem avadim v'shvachus batim sados kramim v'kosev malei ba'arkosh lehem. And it is basically a flea market. A flea market's not the best way to say it. It's a market. Right, it's a festival market, and there you can buy things at bargain prices. So the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says, even though it's a Yerid, and typically the Yerid had a lot of religious connotation to it, right? The context of it was very religious. I mean religious over here, I'm meaning Avodah Zarah religious, okay? Not the good kind of religiosity. So, but still, because there's an opportunity to buy things at prices that you will not have available at any other time, so the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says it's okay, you can do it. So, and you can go to the courthouse, right? Courthouse over here doesn't mean for litigation. It just simply means that for documentation. You have to get it written up, you get it written up. Memneshu kematzil miyadan. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says you're saving. You're saving it out of their hands. Meaning, it goes to this basic idea that this is an opportunity and you can capitalize on the opportunity. Now, there are two different issues we're discussing. We're discussing the issue of Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah is discussing the issue of not doing any type of business transactions when they are religiously inspired, like 3 days before their holidays, like this Yerid, which had a lot of religious connotation to it. But still, if we're talking about an opportunity and an opportunity lost, and if I don't do it now, I will not have another chance, or I may not have another chance. So, in both circumstances, you're allowed to do it. It's fine. Yudalf Amidalf, for 3 lines from the top of the Amid, Rav Shara Lechia Barashi, Lemigdal Uhura Bechol Demoada. Rav allowed Chia Barashi to build a fishnet on Chol HaMoed. My time and my sehedjutu. Building a fishnet, anyone can build a fishnet. Okay. It's, the Gemara considers that to be Maisa Hedjo. That's simple. Yeah, but you're gonna. In other words, you're gonna build the fishnet to trap the fish to eat on Chol HaMoed. So it's Sarach HaMoed. Okay. Aval Islay Aser. Bird's nets. No, that you can't do. Okay. Again, you're not speaking to the right person. Understanding the difference between a fishnet and a bird net. But a bird net is a much more complicated venture. Don't ask me for more explanation. I can't provide it. But a bird net is more complicated. It's what the Gemara refers to as maitaima maisa umanu. It is a professional labor. And once it falls under the category of maisa uman, even if it's for Chol HaMoed, that you're not allowed to do. And so therefore, the creation of a bird net, you're not allowed to make on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yehuda Sharei, le'ami tanura, le'migdal tanure. So Rav Yehuda allowed Ami the oven maker to make ovens on Chol HaMoed. Now it is interesting because, remember yesterday's daf? So the Mishnah on yesterday's daf, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah says, Ma'amidim tanur v'kirayim. You could set up an oven on Chol HaMoed. So it sounds like from our Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda is giving a special dispensation. Special dispensation? The Mishnah yesterday said it's okay. So why would the Amora come later and say, oh, you know what? Here's my big head there. It's a Mishnah. Maybe, right, the Rashi doesn't make this point, but maybe there's a distinction between what the Mishnah was describing, which was setting up Ma'amidim. Ma'amidim kind of gives you the feel that, like, you know, when you buy things from IKEA, so, okay, that just means that your work is beginning. So I know you're right. maybe it's just me, but I promise it's a minimum 2-hour investment. But anyway, maybe the Mishnah Ma'amidim means set it up, and maybe over here what Rabbi Yehuda is allowing is even more, right, to build the oven. Okay, maybe, but that's, okay.
They say about the, why one and not the other, it says that the fish is amateur nets.
Yes.
And the birds are...
Correct. Agreed. Olarava bar asve lemigda muhalta. And he gives another heter, and that he's allowed to build a type of sieve, a type of sift. Okay, on cholamoi. So the Gemara says that everyone agrees that you're not allowed to be megadol tan or build an oven lechatchila. So the lokasha kamiyamoschama, and the Gemara says it depends. If it's in the summer month or if it's the winter months. Now, mind you, by the way, I find this to be cute. The only two chol moed that we could be talking about, meaning in the course of the year, it's either chol moed sukkos or chol moed pesach. That's it. So when the Gemara over here is making a distinction between winter versus summer, like, you have to ask yourself, like, what are we talking about? There's two Chol HaMoed, and they happen to both fall out in between winter and summer. Right? Sukkos is in the fall, right? Pesach is in the spring. So when the Gemara here is saying winter versus summer, like, what are we talking about? So, it happens to be, Rashi does address this, and Rashi says, if you were to guess, and you were to say, well, which of these Chol HaMoed is summer and which one of them is winter? Right.
Other hemisphere.
Well, I mean, Rashi over here assumes that we're dealing in the same location. It's not a bad suggestion, but Rashi says, right, that Sukkos is wet, and Pesach is dry. Okay. Remember, we had the Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis says that really we should start praying for rain at the beginning of Sukkos, because that's really the beginning of the rain season. But of course, we don't want it to rain while we're sitting in our sukkah, so that's why we postpone it to after Sukkos. Okay, Sukkos is a wet season. This is Rashi. I'm not saying anything new. Rashi says this. Sukkos is a wet season, and Pesach is a dry season. And basically, here's how the Gemara's answer works, according to Rashi. You can build an oven on Pesach. Why? Because it's a dry season. So that means that the oven will, when you're building an oven, you're making it out of clay, something along those lines, and it needs time to dry. But in the summer, meaning in Pesach, you'll get it. It's not going to rain. Your ovens are outside. The sun's going to beat down on it. It'll dry, so you can make it and use it on Chol HaMoed. However, on Sukkos, meaning in the rain season, I know we don't ask for rain, but it is the rain season. On Sukkos, you're going to make your oven. It's going to be outside. It's going to get rained on, and it won't be ready for Chol HaMoed. So you're doing something on Chol HaMoed for after Chol HaMoed that you're not allowed to do. That's how Rashi understands the distinction between Yemosek Chama versus Yemosek Shana. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Osin makalagag ulamir peses maisa hedyot. You can make a maka. A maka is a railing for your roof. Our rooftops are slanted. We don't stand on our rooftops. But in the good old days, all the rooftops were flat. And the Torah says, a mitzvah in the Torah, that if you have a roof and people are standing on your roof, so make a railing so that people don't fall off your roof. Okay, so it's what's called the mitzvah in the Torah. It's also what's called sakanas nefashos, right? You don't build a railing for your rooftop, so people are going to get hurt. Okay, and take a look over there in the Sefer HaChinuch. It's an important Sefer HaChinuch. I mean, they all are, but it's an important Sefer HaChinuch where he discusses hashkacha pratis in relation to how can a person fall off a roof if his time is not yet done. So right, so look at the Sefer HaChinuch over there, right? A philosophical discussion on the mitzvah of makkah. Anyway,
what if the mass and woman would be safer than,
right? So good. I don't have a good answer, but I was gonna just bring it up. Meaning it is interesting that over here we're talking about a makkah, which is a mitzvah in a Torah and sakanas nefashos. So it is interesting that still the Mishnah is putting a little bit of a hold order on it. Meaning you could do it, but like a makeshift railing. Don't make a professional rabbi because it's Chol HaMoed. And it's interesting. I don't have a good way to understand it, but it is interesting. In other words, we're talking about the safety and security of people.
Right.
So, okay. And one can envision that there'd be more of a heter to build. Okay.
It's
understood, but all said and done, you know, it's Chol HaMoed and people are going on the roof, and okay. It's a good point, and I don't fully understand why the Mishnah gives us why the Chachamim didn't allow you to just do it. Okay, it's a very good point. So, Maisa Hedjet of Allah Maisa Oman. So, you could do a makeshift railing, but not a professional railing. Shafin a Sestakin o Ma'a, Gilin o Son be Ma'a Gela, Biyaru Veregel. Cracks in the oven, so you could fill the cracks with plaster, and you could use rollers to roll it, and you could use your hand, and you could use your feet. Now, what I just said is a simple pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara later on will modify that pshat, and you'll see why later on. Avalo be machalatzayim, but you can't use machalatzayim. It's a type of professional tool used to fill in the cracks of the oven. That you can't do. That's a maisa uman. Hatsir v'atsinor v'akor v'hamino v'amavtech shenishbaru metaknim b'moed. Any part of the door breaks. Okay, take a look at Rashi for specific definitions of what all these items are of the door. I'll just say it simply. I'm oversimplifying. Any part of the door breaks to your house, so you can fix it on Chol HaMoed. Now over here, right, Gemara doesn't say this, Rashi doesn't say this, but I think it's self-evident. Why are you allowed to fix it on Chol HaMoed? Davar Ha'aved.
Right.
If you have a door that doesn't work to your house on Chol HaMoed, so now you're making yourself, your house, your possessions all vulnerable. So this is what we will put under the category of Davar Ha'aved, and therefore you'll have to fix it on Chol HaMoed. Uvavasho is kamen lasos malachta b'moed. But here's what you can't do, says the Mishnah. You cannot push it off to Chol HaMoed. Meaning, let's say it's a week before Chol HaMoed, the door breaks. You'll say, you know what? I'll wait. Let's wait till Chol HaMoed, then we'll call somebody. The Mishnah says that you cannot do. You can only make repair to the door if it happens on Chol HaMoed and you didn't have an opportunity to do it before Chol HaMoed.
You've already shown that it's not a davar habit.
Correct. Very good. V'chol kvashim shuyachol la'ochol mehem b'moed kovshan. And in terms of pickling, so you can pickle on Chol HaMoed, but only if you can eat it on Chol HaMoed. Meaning, pickling obviously is a lengthy process. So if you're pickling, but the pickling, the yield, the result, will not happen until after Chol HaMoed, after Yontif, that you can't do on Chol HaMoed. That's doing work on Chol HaMoed for after Chol HaMoed. So if you could benefit from the act of pickling on Chol HaMoed, so then you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Hechi dami maise hedja. Okay, we're going now to the first point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you can make a makkah around your house, but only a makeshift makkah, makeshift railing. So what does that mean, makeshift? Rav Yosef Amar Behutza V'dafna, B'masnis Natanat Tzar B'tzor V'inotach B'tit. Should sound familiar. Second time the Gemara is making this kind of description of a makeshift. Remember, we talked about the fences that were breached. The Gemara made basically the same point, that you can Hutza V'dafna, palm fronds, and palm branches that you could use for your railing. Again, I know I'm hearing Ben already in my head. That doesn't sound that safe. I'm not going to argue. Also stones. As long as you don't cement the stones together, so then that also could be served as your railing, as your makeshift railing for Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's what the Mishnah means when it says Maisa Hecha.
It's nice things for your boys to throw.
Right. You'll fall, the stones will fall. Okay, I hear. I definitely hear you. Okay. Shafin es astaken uma agilin osan b'ma'agela. So the cracks in the oven, so you can plaster it with your hands, your feet, and with a roller. And here's where the Gemara is bothered by. Hashba ma'agela marchara b'yadav regal mibaye. If using your hands and feet let me say it again. If using a roller is acceptable, that's a tool. So for sure you're allowed to use your hands and feet. Why would the Mishnah have to then go out of its way to say, oh, and if you want to plaster with your hands and feet, that you're allowed to do? Well, you can use a roller. So hachikam or shafin sedakan ma'agela, so ke'ein ma'agela b'yadav rega v'lo b'machlatzayim. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the Mishnah. We all did. What the Mishnah means is you can't use a roller. It means that you can plaster. The only tool that you use is either your hands or your feet, even if you happen to be really good at it. Even if it looks like you used a roller, that's fine, but you cannot actually use a tool. Using a tool now falls under the category of Maisa Uman, and so you can't use an actual tool. But you can use a hand, you could use a foot, even if the result looks really good. That's what the Mishnah means.
You just can't use a trowel.
Agreed, but the first thing I have to do is know what that is. But yeah, yes, right, it's that it's a triangular thing. Yeah. Okay. Good. Hatzir v'atzinu v'akor v'hamino v'amavtech shenishperu mitaknim b'moed. Any part of the door breaks, you're allowed to fix it in the cholamoed. Uriminu. And here's what the Gemara is bothered by. Ad yamav hayu patish makeh b'Yerushalayim. Until his day. Okay. Who's he? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says we're talking about Yochanan Kohen Gadol, one of the Kohanim during Baisheni, during the Second Temple. So up until his day, so the hammers were hammering in Yerushalayim. And then he said enough. In other words, it's a desecration of Chol HaMoed. The hammers are going, construction's going. And so therefore, after Yochanan Kohen Gadol, there was a ban on any tool to be used in Yerushalayim. And let's just say it, because it seems obvious, the Gemara doesn't make this point. Not only is it Yerushalayim, but it's basically for everybody. So, Ad Yamavin Mikan Ve'elech Lo. So that means that at any point afterwards, you can't use tools for construction. And so the question now on the table is basically, how are you fixing your door? You're not fixing your door with your hand. You're obviously using tools. How can the Mishnah allow you to do that but after Yochanan Kohen Gadol, there was no permission to use heavy tools on Chol HaMoed? So Lokasha, I kind of gave away the answer. I hinted to the answer. Lokasha kan b'denafcho kan b'denagre. So the Gemara says that it depends on what kind of tools we're talking about. Nafche, if you take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, "B'denafche patish haynu kornos aser da'avi kala rabba v'olu de'kala aser." Nafche, we're talking about a major hammer. Makes a loud sound, really loud sound. So that's prohibited. But b'denagre, nagre is a lighter instrument, right? Rashi minol shel eitz shari de'lo havi kala rabba. Okay, a wooden hammer doesn't make as loud a sound. So now the Gemara is making a distinction between loud sounds versus not such loud sounds. And to that, Matke Flor Rav Chista says, no, I don't hear that distinction. Yomu Kala Rabba, Asa Kala Zuta Share, it's a very difficult distinction in Halacha. A really loud sound, that's prohibited. And not such loud sound, oh, that's okay. Rav Chista says, that's really difficult. That kind of distinction in Halacha. Elam Rav Chista, Lokasha Abba Magla Abba Chatzine. So the Gemara says the difference between a saw versus an axe. Okay, now, I'll say it like I think the Gemara means it, but hard for me to really visualize. A saw produces no sound. Okay, that's Rashi. I mean, Rashi says, Master Agadol Shari de la Molid Kala Klum. Saw produces no sound. So again, I don't have a good... I don't know. Agreed. I'm presenting the Gemara Kipshuto, even though I have a hard time seeing it. And Bachatzini, Chatzini is an axe, and an axe produces a sound. Okay, so that's Rav Chista's distinction. So we'll put that under the category of answer number one. Answer number one, different types of sounds. If it's a tool that produces a loud sound, that's prohibited. According to Rav Chista's modification of the first answer, if it produces no sound, so that's okay. That's answer number one. So if you're calling the locksmith to come to your door on Chol HaMoed, so according to Rav Chista, you're good, but just I don't want to hear you. Right, you can work, but it's got to be quiet work. Okay, that's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Papa Amar, Kan Konim Gzera, Kan Lacher Gzera. Another answer, which is, our Mishnah was describing life before the Gzera. Now that is it's an interesting answer, it's a strange answer, right? One that requires more effort to understand, because why would our Mishnah that was written years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash be writing a halacha that hasn't been... Right, that only took us back to the middle of Baisheni. Right, okay. Rav Ashi Amar HaRav Yehuda Rav Yossi. And Rav Ashi gives the third answer, which is, our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rav Yossi, and the Braisa reflects the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Now, these are opinions that we haven't seen yet. They're coming up in tomorrow's daf. Quickly, we're going to go through it right now. Rav Yossi, Damar Rav Yisrael, Rav Dima, Mantana, Shinui B'mod B'davar Aved, Deloka Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that if I want to do a work, an activity on Chol HaMoed, even if it's a Dover Ha'aved, even if we're talking about potential loss, like a broken door to your front door, the front door to your house, which is Dover Ha'aved, you do not want that broken. You need it fixed on Chol HaMoed. So according to Rav Yehuda, you could do so, but with a Shinui. You have to do right. You have to do some sort of modification. You can't do it like you normally do it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's what that brisa of Ad Yamav was going like. Our Mishnah, which makes no proviso, there's no stipulation in our Mishnah. Your door breaks, just fine. Just have somebody come and fix it. That's going like Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't for davar aven echol amoed. You could do it like you normally do it. So the Gemara says nowadays the front door, the bolt of the front door is being fixed like it normally does. Who do we follow? Like, come on, Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says we follow like Rav Yossi. Meaning, okay, we pass on like Rav Yossi, which fits into the general klalei hapsak. Well, we go like Rav Yossi. If Rav Yossi is arguing with another Tana, we go like Rav Yossi. Kvashim shu yachol lachom b'moi kovshan. B'disal abai kavre. Okay, the Gemara starts us off right away with a story. Story goes that there was a river, and the river was drained, and so now on the riverbed, on this drained riverbed, fish, tons of fish. And this was all during Chol HaMoed. Okay? And Azu Kuleama sowed Isukavra. And so the community goes out to the riverbed now, and it's better than a sail. Okay? It's free. Free fish. So everyone's going out, and as much as they can collect, they're going to bring the fish home with them on Chol HaMoed. Here's the problem. We're not able to eat all that fish over Chol HaMoed. So what am I going to do with all my leftovers? Now, if I don't do anything, if I don't treat them at all, they're going to spoil. Can I salt these extra fish, even though I know really that I'm salting it for after Chol HaMoed? So Rabbi says you can salt all the leftovers. So Abai says to Rava, our Mishnah, what about our Mishnah? It says that you're not allowed to salt something on Chol HaMoed unless you know you're going to eat it on Chol HaMoed. And now you're allowing other people to salt salt the leftovers for after Chol HaMoed. Amalei kevin the mikara daita dachila aisinu vishavik lehu paste keprak matya ha'ave dame visharei. So Rava says to Abaye, I think it's mutter. Because the original intention was to take fish for Chol HaMoed. Now granted, they took more than they could have eaten. Fine. But their original intent was to collect for Chol HaMoed. They had leftover. If you don't allow them to salt the leftover, they're going to lose it. It's davar ha'aved. And therefore it's going to be mutter. Okay. This kind of speaks to, I mentioned this in the beginning of today's shiur, kind of speaks to the question of, can I go buy something on Chol HaMoed if it's on sale? Again, not the Rav, I'm not a posek, right, we all know that, it's been confirmed many times over. But in other words, but the Gemara over here certainly intimates the idea that if we're looking at a serious sale, here it's more than a sale, looking at free fish, so then it would be okay. Our Gemara speaks to the idea that it would be okay. But again, you'll speak to your Rav. Igadar Mishalu Rava. Now, according to there's a slightly different version of the story, which is Sharlu Rava made some mezal isu memlach. The question was asked to Rava even before people went down to the riverbed, and they said, "Can we go and can we collect the fish?" And we're telling you right now, we're going to salt it. Like, can we do that? And Rava said, "Yeah, you're allowed to." So, in the second version, Rava's even being more lenient. It's not even after the fact. It's before they went down. They turned to Rava, can we go? Can we collect? And Rava said, sure. But we're going to salt. Rava says, that's fine. So now, Amalei Abai, now in the second version, so we're going to have the same give and take. Amalei Abai, Vanan Tanan, Kvashim Sheyuchal Lachla Mehem, Kovshan. So Abai says to Rava, yeah, but what? They're salting. You can't salt unless you're going to eat it on Chol HaMoed. So Amalei Hani Milimit Avle Agav Itzitza. So let me read it better. Amalei hani nami mit achle agav itzitza. So Rava says to Abaye, no, they can eat it. Meaning, I know they're salting and I know it's heavy salting. But what you could do is you can rinse and squeeze it out and you'll get rid of the salt, and it is edible even on Chol HaMoed. So I understand, they're really salting it for after Chol HaMoed. But it falls within the realm of edible on Chol HaMoed itself. And Rava says, therefore, I think it's fine.
Why don't they apply the principle of oil that could have the guests coming
right
over?
Right. It's an interesting question. I don't know. Okay. Ki hadu Shmuel Abdul Eishis and Atzis Eba Achel. Shmuel did it. Shmuel rinsed and squeezed the fish 60 times over. Okay. And he ate it. Rava Eichle Beresh Galus Abdul Eishis and Atzis Eba Achel. Gemara tells the story right by Rava. Same thing. the salted fish, squeeze it 60 times, and he ate it. So in other words, again, solidifying the point that even after you salt the fish, it's edible. Rav Ikla be Rav Shapir. Rav goes to the house of Rav Shapir. Isol kamayu hau kavra tilsa bishula tilsa milcha v'tilsa tavya. A third of it was cooked, a third of it was salted, and a third of it was roasted. Amar Rav, amarli adat saida. So now Rav is going to give over some fish eating advice. Okay, so who thought you're going to come to the daf today and you're going to hear some culinary advice about fish? Not only culinary advice about fish, but health advice about fish. So, and Rav says that this was told to me by adat saida, out of the fisherman. Kavra samuch lemisriche male. Best time to eat a fish is right before it spoils. Like you thought, as did I, that the best time to eat a fish is fresh, meaning right out of the ocean. Right? Catch it, bring it home, eat it, it's the best. I'm here to report, it is. But the but the Gemara says, Rav says, but that's not what I heard. I heard from people who know that the best time to eat the fish is right before it spoils. And I'm going to come back to that point in just a moment. Amarav Amarli Adat Saida. Another point Rav says I heard from Adat Saida, which is Kavatavya Be'achua. Right, the way the Gemara presents this is so it's so smart. The best way to prepare fish is with its brother. What's the brother of the fish? Salt. Okay. I know we're giving like a fish a whole family tree, but the let me give it away so that you understand the Gemara. Dad of the fish is going to be water. Right, yeah, you understand, because the water progenates the fish, it creates the environment so that the fish can live. The brother of the fish is going to be the salt, and the child of the fish. Any guesses? The child of the fish is going to be its brine. Right, that's the so tavia b'achua, roast it with salt. Make sure to put salt on the fish when you're roasting it. Asuka b'avua, and cook it in its father, meaning cook it in water. And michle bebrei, and when you eat the brine together with it. Ishte ale avua, and make sure to drink the father, meaning drink water with the fish. The amarav amarli adatside. One more piece of advice regarding fish eating, and that is kavatach the chaba. Eat fish together with what they call cress. It's a type of vegetable together with milk. So in other words, if you eat all these three together, basically lox and cream cheese. Kind of, right? Okay, just something like that. So, litum gufa below litum puria. So, don't go to bed right afterwards. In other words, work the body out. Okay, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that after you have a meal, don't work out the body. I say work out. I mean, like, you know, take a walk. The Rambam says, no, you got to let the food sit in your stomach a little bit. So, don't move, right? Don't do any type of exertion after you eat. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. The Gemara over here says that after this combination of fish, vegetable, and milk, so then you should work out the body.
And some prohibited fish and milk.
So that's the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes that you're not eating fish and milk together. Some Sfarim hold of it, some Sfarim don't hold of it. Highly controversial statement to the Beis Yosef. Okay, the below Liton Puria, and don't go to bed after you eat this combination. Amarav Amarli Adat Saide Kavratach Lechaba Maivalo Shichra. If you eat this combination of fish, vegetable, and milk, so drink water, don't drink beer, Shichra Velo Chamra. Now, if you don't have water and all you have is beer, beer is better than wine. Meaning wine, it does not go together with this combination of fish, milk, and cress. Okay, one of the statements that comes out of the first half of today's daf on the Amud Aleph, a statement that to us seems strange, which is the best time to eat fish is right before it spoils. Okay, advice of the Gemara in terms of fish eating. Advice we should follow or not follow. Take a look at Tosfos over here. Really important Tosfos. The only Tosfos on the Amud. Tosfos over here says, if Vizman is there, Tofsin Sakana Lamechal Samach Lesirchon. Tosfos says, nowadays, when I say nowadays, the 12th, 13th century, France, Germany, nowadays, we go the other way. We would argue that it's a sakana, it's a danger to do so. The gam mashdi ala avua, the amar besamuch, the male, and the Gemara says to drink water with it. We don't think that's good, says Tosos. Vishema nishtanu, kamo harefuah shebishas. And so Tosos invokes an idea over here. Perhaps you've heard this idea, but you're seeing Tosos say it straight out, and that is nishtanu. we've gone through physical changes over the years. We've gone through changes. Fish have gone through changes. In other words, that any medical advice given in the Gemara is not necessarily to be followed. I mean, Tosfos says it stronger than I just said it. Tosfos says, in this particular case, it's a sakana, meaning don't do it. Don't eat a fish right before it spoils. It's a sakana, it poses a danger. Either Gemara says it's good, Gemara says it's the best. Okay, you can't compare our physical condition, our physiological condition, our natural world to that in which the Gemara was around. And so this idea of nishtanu hateva, that nature changed, and therefore the refuos, all the medicinal advice, the therapeutic advice given in the Gemara, and the Gemara has much to offer on that. And in this particular case, the eating advice of the fish, so Tosfos says, we don't follow it. In fact, we go the other way. Yeah, this idea of nishtanu hateva. Yes, it's a fascinating idea. It has many applications, and this is an obvious one. That is the end of the first parak of the Masechta.
What about
Yes,
speak to your local rabbi. Okay, we start the second parak with the Mishnah. Over here discusses the following scenario. A person is in the olive pressing business, and he collected all of his olives and he put it on the olive press, and he's ready, and Rahman al-Slan, he loses one of his seven relatives and he becomes an avel. Now I know what just happened, meaning, right, cholam moed, why are we moving to avelos? So you'll see that there is reason to compare avelos and cholam moed. Obviously two different emotions, one's happy, one's sad, but interesting, the tzad ha-shava, the common denominator between the two is that there's an isser malacha. You're not allowed to do malacha during avelos, you're not allowed to do malacha during cholam moed. Again, that's on a broader scale. But, so the Mishnah here creates a scenario where your olives are on the press and everything's ready to go, and Rachman Aslan, the person becomes an avo. Oh, ones, Rashi points out, this is now bringing us back to Cholam Moed, meaning you were planning on doing it before Cholam Moed. And then life happens, and you just, circumstances beyond your control, you weren't able to press before Cholam Moed. So can I press it on Cholam Moed? The question, we'll get to the answer in just a moment. Oshi tuhu po'alim. Or let's say the workers promised to come and it's happened. They promised to come and they never came. So towing kore rishona uminichal achar moed de Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, all the olives are there sitting on the press. They need to be pressed. You could do the first press. And then on Cholam Moed. Now is he saying it also by Avelus? Unclear, please wait. We're going to discuss that later today. Or probably tomorrow. Meaning, the Avelus case and the Cholam Moed case are two different cases. The Avelus case is talking about the rest of the year. But there's an Issa Malacha during Avelus. Okay, we'll come back to that. So, Minichal Acham, Div Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says the first press, but only the first press. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zola, Vigomer, Vikar, Vigav, Kedarko. And Rabbi Yossi, and I'm sorry, Rabbi, yeah, I was right. And Rabbi Yossi says, you can press like you normally press during the rest of the year, meaning over here it was an ones, it was circumstances beyond your control, the workers didn't come, you were planning on doing it before Cholam Moed, you can not only start the press but finish the press on Cholam Moed. Now Pasach Be'evah V'Sayim B'Moed. Now the Gemara's first observation is that we start with Avelus and we end with Cholam Moed, and the Gemara's observation is that a person becomes an avo right before the press. And now what? From the Mishnah, it's not totally clear whether or not the avo is allowed to do it during Cholam Moed. Sorry. The avo is allowed to do it during his avelus. Meaning, because what happens, look at the structure of the Mishnah. It's first the case of avelus, then the case of Cholam Moed, and then an allowance. Is that allowance, for sure is going on Cholam Moed. Is that allowance also going back to avelus as well? That's not clear from the Mishnah. And so now in the Gemara, we're going to have two opinions. Amar of Shisha Bered, the Rav Edis, Osamaris, Varma, Mutarim, Bamoed, Asurim, Bimei Avlo. So the first opinion, that of Rav Shishi, is that even though you're allowed to press on Cholam Moed, again, the case is, he was planning on doing it before Cholam Moed. Circumstances, the workers didn't come. And so now, the Mishnah says you're allowed to start and finish it on Cholam Moed. That's only true for Cholam Moed. Interestingly, that's not acceptable for an avel, meaning an avel who's not allowed to do work during his avelus, even though he wasn't planning on being an avel. That's never the case. No one's planning on being an avel. But even though he wasn't planning on being an avel, still, there's no heter for him to finish the press, or I should say even start the press during his avelus.
What if the relatives are shchima?
One second. There's more to discuss, but and Rav Ashi Amar Lomi Bai Kamar. Rav Ashi says no. That's not the way to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah over here operates with the style of Lomi Bai. It goes without saying. Lomi Bai Bimei Havlo Demidra Baranu Visharei. Not doing work when a person's an avo. That's an iser, but an iser derabana. Ela Afilu Bimoi Deser Malachim Midaraisa. But on Chol HaMoed, where the Isra Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Isra Daraisa. So, B'makom Pseida Shara Rabbanan. So, it's a simple Kavachomer, says Rav Ashi. If you're allowed to do this type of activity, meaning press your olives and finish the press on Chol HaMoed, where there's generally an Isra Malacha Daraisa, so then for sure, during Avelis, where the Isra there is an Isra Rabbanan, so for sure you're allowed to do it. That's, Rav Ashi says, that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Yeah. So Tosfos says, right. Tosfos says Chol HaMoed there's an Issur D'oraisa to do Malacha. So Tosfos says, go back to page one of the Masechta, where we had the discussion of what is the nature of the Issur Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Okay, good. All right, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. There's a long brisa coming up, and we'll start the brisa right away tomorrow. So basically, now this is going to transition us. Not really to the third parak, but at least now we're opening the idea to Hilchos Avelus. We'll continue tomorrow.